Lecture 29, Muhammad and Islam.
Welcome once again to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This lecture, number 29, begins a series of three in which we'll explore the heirs of the Roman Empire. The Roman world produced three heirs: the Islamic world, to which we will turn in this lecture, the Byzantine Empire, to which we'll turn in the next one, and the Germanic West, to which we'll turn in the lecture after that. It's important to bear in mind that, as we were stressing in our lectures on late antiquity, the Roman Empire transformed. It changed gradually over a long period of time, and it changed slowly. It's also important to emphasize that the Roman Empire did not simply vanish, but it left heirs. It bequeathed much of its political structure, its social structure, its economic structure, its intellectual structure to each of its heirs, but each of these inheritances was taken up in a slightly different way. Now, from the sorts of things that we talked about when we were considering late antiquity, you might well have predicted that the Eastern Roman Empire was going to have some kind of a future. We'll explore in our next lecture just what kind of future that might be, but one might very well have predicted that future. And of course, we also saw that the western half of the Roman Empire, even though the Roman imperial administration itself vanished, had gradually, slowly but surely, transformed itself from provinces of an empire into kingdoms under Germanic kings. So you might very well have supposed that those kingdoms were going to have some kind of a future. What you would not have predicted, what no one could have predicted, would have been the emergence of the Arab peoples, of the Prophet Muhammad, and of the Islamic faith. And that's our subject in this lecture, the first, then, of our three on the heirs of the Roman Empire. Now, in order to think a little bit about the Islamic world, a subject that has obviously come to be of enormous significance to us in recent times, we want to begin with just a basic consideration of the Arabian Peninsula, of the Arab peoples, before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. We'll talk a little about the Prophet Muhammad himself, and then we'll turn to some key elements of the faith which he taught, and then we'll talk a little bit about the emergence of Islamic political institutions. The Caliphate is what we'll be talking about towards the end of this lecture. Now, the Arabian Peninsula was a large, turbulent, contested region. It was contested internally among large numbers of sort of loosely affiliated tribes. Now, tribes, clans, if you will, in the Arabian Peninsula were very much like those Germanic tribes that we talked about in an earlier lecture. That is to say, they were communities of people related by blood, yes, but also clients, adherents, hangers-on, allies, friends, very, very complex social organizations. But the key point that I wish you to retain is that the Arabian Peninsula had no single, overall, unifying political structures. In addition to that, the Arabian Peninsula was, at least portions of it, for a long time contested territory among two other outside powers. The first of these, the Eastern Roman Empire. The second of these, the Persian Empire. Now, the Persian Empire, which we talked about many lectures ago, and to which we've referred once or twice since then, was, of course, still there, still prominent, and still fairly significant. In addition, the Arabian Peninsula had for a long time been open to the religious influences of Judaism and Christianity. Now, the traditional Arab faiths were quite different, and we'll turn to them in a few minutes, but the point is that the Arabian Peninsula had been subject to outside influences. Now, the whole land had never really been conquered fully by anyone. The Roman Empire had never fully conquered the Arabian Peninsula, not really much more than the northernmost portions of it, though exerted influence certainly further to the south. The Persians had never conquered the Arabian Peninsula. Alexander the Great had not conquered the Arabian Peninsula. So we have, in a way, to think both about external influences flowing in and then autonomous developments inside the Arabian Peninsula that sort of went flowing along over long, long periods of time, influenced, yes, by outside forces, but never fundamentally changed by them, never fundamentally taken over. We talk, for instance, in the Mediterranean world about processes of Romanization. But it would be very difficult to talk about the Romanization of the Arabian Peninsula or of the peoples who lived there.